What makes this night different from every other night? Because once we were slaves, and we are slaves no more. That's what the Jewish people say every time they begin their Passover feast, and they have said those words for a very, very long time. Those words date from the time of the Babylonian Talmud, which means they would have said those very words at the Last Supper. Now, according to tradition, it was the youngest person at table who would ask the question, and it was the father or the rabbi at the table who would answer. In all likelihood, it was St. John, the beloved apostle, who asked, "What makes this night different from every other night?" And Jesus himself would have answered, "Because once we were slaves, and we are slaves no more." Now, it's a historical fact that the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt for 400 years until God set them free. But when our Lord would have said, "We are slaves no more," nobody sitting at that table this evening would have imagined in the slightest everything that he intended to say. Because it's true. We were slaves. We were slaves to two things. You want to know what we were slaves to? Sin and death. Try though you might, with all your power, you can never overcome sin and death. But rather, it's the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord. The grace to be won for us on the cross, and the passion that begins this night. And for that reason alone, we are slaves no more. When the Jewish people would gather to celebrate the Passover feast, they would remember everything that God had done for them down through the ages, how they were set free from slavery in Egypt and led through the Red Sea and given the Ten Commandments and led through the desert and finally brought at long last to the land of promise. But on that first Holy Thursday night, Jesus did something so astonishing that you can hardly bring yourself to believe it. Because no longer would we merely recall the great things that God did for us, but rather by the power of the Holy Spirit, past events of what God had done for us will now be a present reality. Welcome to the sacred Triduum. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil. The holiest days of the entire year, these 3 days are. And the reason for that is because these 3 days tell us more about who God is than any other time of year. In fact, you realize that when we started this Mass, Lent ended. Did you know that? Lent ended with the beginning of this Mass. It's a fact. Because the Sacred Triduum is just that important. It's in a class all by itself. In fact, it's no exaggeration to say that everything else we do in the entire year compared with these 3 days is either prelude or postscript. And you might find this interesting as well. These 3 days are one continuous liturgy. We began tonight with the sign of the cross, just like we always begin the Mass. But you won't get your final blessing until the end of the Easter Vigil on Saturday night. And it all begins this evening with what we call the Mass of the Lord's Supper. It's the only Mass in the entire year, the only liturgy in the entire year in which the rubrics of the Mass tell the priest what he's supposed to preach about. Three things: the priesthood, the Eucharist, and our Lord's commandment, charity. Now, you just heard the gospel that told us all about our Lord's commandment of charity. You heard the gospel account in which our Lord washes the feet of his apostles. And when he's finished, he turns to his apostles gathered at table and he says, "Do you guys realize what I've done for you? I've given you a model to follow. That as I've done for you, so now you must do for one another." Question for you this evening. When Jesus told us this is what we must do for one another, do you really think that he meant we should go out and wash each other's feet? No, much more than that. It's the unanimous consent of the fathers of the church that when our Lord told his apostles to go now and also do as he has done, it was a summation of all of his teaching on the subject of charity. Now, in just a few minutes, you see these finely dressed young gentlemen right over here? They're all going to line up right here in the middle, and I'm going to ceremonially reenact the gospel that you just heard with the foot washing. I'm going to ceremonially wash their meticulously pre-washed feet, okay? But if you want to know what this was really like in the time of our Lord, try if you can to imagine what a Middle Eastern foot might have been like. I mean, this was a task so noxious that you couldn't even command a slave to do it. Which is why when our Lord began to wash the feet of the apostles, he almost had an insurrection on his hands. He almost couldn't command a slave to do it, you know, because, you know, you got to picture that Middle Eastern foot walking through those Middle Eastern streets with all that dust and grime and sharing the road with all the donkeys and goats and all the things that fall out of donkeys and goats. And you can imagine what it must have been like for someone to wash the feet of the apostles, wash the feet of people back in that time. While you're thinking about that, think about this. Our Lord's commandment of charity is every bit as noxious to us today as washing feet was to them back then. Because when you hear all of the things that our Lord told us in the beautiful teachings on charity, it's so gorgeous to hear, right? Gorgeous. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you and bless those who curse you, and then you'll be known as sons and daughters of your Heavenly Father. Beautiful teaching. Until, of course, you have to live it. Then it's not beautiful at all. Then it's noxious. It's as repulsive as washing feet. And it's at a time like this that we need to remember one of the greatest paradoxes of our faith is that you can't live what our Lord told us to live, not without the help of divine grace. Do you know that? It's a teaching of our faith. It is impossible to persevere in a life of charity unless you are sustained by the power of divine grace. And that's why on this night, our Lord gives us everything we need to do that. Because on the night before he died, he himself took bread, took a cup of wine, said the blessing, and to his apostles he said, "This is my body, this is my blood. Do this in memory of me." Now, when our Lord said to his apostles, "Do this in memory of me," what did he mean? Do what in memory of him? Well, the answer is to celebrate the Eucharist. That's what he commanded. Now, every time God gives us a commandment, he empowers us to carry out what he commanded. That's why we believe that when our Lord told his apostles to do this in memory of me, he gave them the ability to do that. That's why Holy Thursday is the celebration of the sacred priesthood. Now, let me give you a little 10-second catechesis on the priesthood, okay? 10-second catechesis on the priesthood. What's a priest? What's a priest? A priest is a mediator, a go-between, between God and man, who brings about a union between God and man by means of sacrifice. That's what a priest is, a mediator. Between God and man, who brings about a union between God and man by means of sacrifice. Now, how many priests are there in the world? Careful, it's a trick question, okay? How many priests are there in the world? Well, if you did a head count, you might find this interesting. You would find that number to be about 415,000. It's about enough for a small city. About 415,000 Catholic priests in the world. And about 5,600 bishops, give or take. Around 200 cardinals and two popes. But I told you it was a trick question. How many priests are there in the world? It is De Fide Definite teaching of the Catholic Church that there is only one priest. Jesus Christ is the only priest. Only Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man, who brought about a union between God and man by means of sacrifice. Why? Because he is God and man. And he himself is the perfect sacrifice. And anybody, anywhere, I don't care what you believe or where you're from, anybody makes it to heaven, the only reason they make it is because Jesus Christ died for their sins. You know what we believe about the Catholic priesthood? We believe that by virtue of the Sacrament of Holy Orders, a frail guy, like any of us up here, a frail guy, is so configured in the person of Jesus Christ that Jesus can act through his very person such that, like in a few minutes, a priest's going to stand over here at this altar. He's going to take a piece of bread. He's going to take a cup of wine. What's he going to say? He's going to say, "This is my body. This is my blood." Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "This is Jesus' body." This is Jesus. He doesn't say that. Why not? Because he's acting in the person of Christ. A configuration so close that the voice you hear is the voice of Christ himself. You go to confession. At least I hope you go to confession. You go to confession, you hear the priest give you absolution. What does he say? "I absolve you." He doesn't say Jesus absolves you. He doesn't say God absolves you. What does he say? "I absolve you." And when you hear that word "I," remember the one who's speaking. A configuration so close that Jesus himself works through these frail instruments. And why? Why? So that you'd be lacking in nothing. So that you would have all that you need. It's a very strange gift, the gift of the priesthood. Very strange gift. Every other gift in the world is given for the benefit of the one who receives it, except the priesthood. Priesthood is given for the benefit of everybody else through the one who receives it. And what's the greatest benefit that comes from the hands of the priest but the Eucharist? Greatest thing our Lord gave us here on this Holy Thursday night. Anybody ever asks you what the Eucharist is, you can answer them in one word. What's the Eucharist? It's Jesus. I'll give you the simplest catechesis in the entire world on the Eucharist. Jesus loved us so much that he never left us. That he's still here. That's what we believe about the Blessed Sacrament. We believe that that host is actually him. I don't know, it doesn't look like it, right? Certainly doesn't taste like it. This is what we believe. It's the greatest gift you could ever imagine and the last thing that you would ever expect, with characteristic humility that could only come from God. He himself loved us so much that he never left us. I used to teach this to high school students, right? And I would sit them down and I would try to teach them about the Eucharist, and they would say, "Father, I think I got it. I think I got it. Jesus is mystically present in the bread." And I'd say, "Nope. It's not bread." And they'd say, "Wait a minute. I think I got it. Jesus is spiritually present in the wine." And I'd say, "No. It's not wine. Bread ceases to be bread. Wine ceases to be wine. And what appears to be such is actually him." And when I would say this to the kids, they'd have this eureka moment. They'd look at me like, "You crazy." That's when I knew they got it. I said, "Listen, if you want to think I'm crazy about something, please think I'm crazy about this, because at least it shows you're paying attention." But why would our Lord give us this? Because he loved us so much that he never wanted to leave. Welcome to the Sacred Triduum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Holy Thursday. This is the night in which our Lord promises you that not only does he want to bring you home to your heavenly inheritance, but he is going to give you everything you need to get there. From his passion, from his death, from his resurrection, which he begins this night, to the gift of the Eucharist, to the gift of the Holy Priesthood, everything that you need to become who you were born to be and to arrive at last into your heavenly inheritance. This is Holy Thursday. He gathers his friends and teaches them one last lesson. He continues his work and institutes the holy priesthood. And he gives us a remembrance, nothing less than his own self. This is Holy Thursday. Blessed are they, blessed are we, who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Amen.